Blog Talk Radio.
There is a legend of two men out on the sports prairie. Two lonesome men that can wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. It is the legend of El Presidente and his faithful sidekick, $2 Bill Josh. It is the legend of the Malice Wrap-Up, and that legend continues.
Boys and girls, welcome to the Balance Wrap-Up. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and right alongside me, as usual, is the guy with his very own jersey. The guy that sounds just like Darth Vader, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how are we doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tom?
I am fantastic. Another great day in 24 hours of sports. Obviously, we've got a little bit of Colts stuff to talk about, some breaking news with the Colts, but we certainly want to make sure that we get to the Indiana Fever. Are you with me there, Josh?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I just got down to Casico Fieldhouse.
Okay, well, we certainly want to get into more information about why you're down there at Casico. Obviously, the Indiana Fever continues their quest for a championship, but we have some breaking news with the Indianapolis Colts. Go ahead and share that with us, Josh, and let's go for 2 minutes here. Let's talk about the Colts here for the next 2 minutes, and then we'll jump right into the Indiana Fever game.
Well, based on the reports that I'm getting, they haven't yet been substantiated, but Dan Orlovsky is now the new quarterback of the Colts. Apparently, he's going to waltz in off the street, replace Curtis Painter and Kerry Collins. And I have no problem with Dan Orlovsky. He's a great guy. He didn't earn the job in preseason training camp. So my question is, why is he the guy now? Now, I know Tom said they were talking about bringing in Mark Bolger. That would have been an even worse fit than Kerry Collins, as I'm pretty sure Bolger is colorblind. And it also appears that Garrett Brackett's tenure as the starting middle linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts is over. So, it appears that Pat Enger is the new starting quarterback for the Colts, which is good.
Pat
He's a little bit bigger.
Did
He's
you
a little
say
bigger
Pat
than Pat Enger.
Did you just say Pat Enger was the quarterback for the Colts?
I mean, he's the new middle linebacker for the Colts.
I was going to say, boy, that is some breaking news, that's for sure. Well, absolutely, we are following the Colts quarterback controversy right here in Indianapolis. As usual, for those of you that don't know, our show broadcasts all over the nation right here from Indianapolis, Indiana, the hub in the heartland of sports in America right here in Indianapolis. And so glad that you guys could join us tonight. All right, Josh, you're down there at Conseco Fieldhouse. It is Indiana Fever. They are trying to get a championship with what appears to be, and they're saying it's going to be a game-time situation, but without the WNBA's most valuable player, Tamika Catchings.
That is true. They are getting ready to try to win game play without Tamika Catchings. Tamika is out on the floor attempting to warm up. She doesn't look like she's ready to go tonight. But this is a pro sports team. Injuries happen. If Beaver lose tonight, I don't want to hear the excuse. They didn't have Tamika Catchings. You're all professionals. You all play in the WNBA. Just like with the Colts. I don't want to hear the Colts say they lost because of Manny. It's the next person up. Granted, she's a WNBA MVP. The face of the franchise. But this is game three, the right to go to the championship series. Somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to want to be a superstar. And then go out and make themselves a superstar for the night.
Okay, well, we're excited to see what happens down there at Indiana. Down there at Conseco Fieldhouse as the Indiana Fever take on the Atlanta Dream in Game 2 of the Eastern Finals, this would be Game 3, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah, this is Game 3. Indiana won Game 1 by 10 points. They lost Game 2 by 19, and tonight they're going to try to win Game number 3. Without Timmy Kitchen,
well,
it's more than likely.
Well, obviously, this is an important win for the Indiana Fever, and like we just said, we're talking a little bit about missing Tamika Catchings and Josh. So, are they going to be able to play it? And is Zealous in as well?
Shavante Zealous will play. It's yet to be determined whether she was started in that pool and will start at Tamika's spot. Can they win it? I want to say yes. I really want to say yes. My heart wants to say yes. But I'm going to go with no. They can't. It'll be too much to overcome the loss of Catchings in Game 3.
Well, the Fever may be without their star player when they host the Atlanta Dream tonight with a spot in the finals line. Again, Atlanta forced a decisive Game 3 in the Eastern Conference Finals with a 94-77 home win Sunday after Indiana recorded an 82-74 victory in Game 1 on Thursday, as Josh just said. As the Fever try to bounce back, like I just said, they are very uncertain whether or not Catchings will be available. She left Sunday's game with 4 minutes and 54 seconds remaining in the game after landing on Allison Bell's foot while attempting to defend a shot from Bell's. Now, Coach Lynn Dunn wasn't certain if Catchings will play tonight. She did say that the good news was that the injury wasn't to Catchings' Achilles tendon, which she tore her right Achilles in 2007, and some of you might remember that, and she missed the playoffs and obviously part of the next season. So the seven-time All-Star averaged 15.5 points, 7.1 rebounds, and 3.5 assist the seasons, like we said, as she's the WNBA's most valuable player. So hopefully they can get Tamika Catchings back. But if not, the Indiana Fever are certainly ready to destroy the dreams of Atlanta for a championship game. So, Josh, real quickly, what is the keys that the Indiana Fever have to do in order to stop Atlanta from going any further in the finals?
Well, somebody's going to have to step up and replace Mickey Catchings. They're going to have to hit the boards. They're going to have rebounds Atlanta. They're going to have to slow down Atlanta's fast break because they're averaging 20 fast break points in the first two games. Katie Douglas is going to have to step up huge. Aaron Phillips is going to have a good game. And this is an old basketball cliche. They're going to need a third scorer. If you just have two people scoring and everybody else staying in the single digits, odds are you're not going to win. So they got to rebound, slow down the fast break, take care of the basketball, as they have a tendency to turn it over quite a bit, and they need a third scorer to step up. Will that be Shavante Zealous? Will it be Tangela Smith, Jeanette Poland? Tune into the game tonight at 8 o'clock on ESPN2 and find out.
All right, so we'll see what happens there with the Atlanta Dream and the Indiana Fever down there at Conseco Fieldhouse as they try to pursue further in the finals for the WNBA Finals. And, Josh, I know you're down there covering it for the balance. When we get back, we're going to break down some MLB. Guys, the playoff picture is becoming pretty, pretty clear. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the MLB playoffs right around the corner, right here on The Balance on Blog Talk Radio.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. That's exactly what's going on in the MLB. There's a lot of people that are out there that are crying and saying, whoa, whoa, woe is me. I couldn't get into the playoffs. Obviously, one of those teams that we've talked about here is the St. Louis Cardinals and many other teams. Josh, give us a real quick look and glimpse at the upcoming MLB playoffs for 2011.
It appears likely that the Yankees are going to open against the Detroit Tigers, and Texas is going to open against the Boston Red Sox. If Boston can hold on, if not, it looks like Texas will open against Tampa Bay, as Texas, Detroit, and the Yankees have all won their divisions. American League Wild Card: Boston leads Tampa Bay. Well, actually, no, Boston and Tampa Bay are now tied. The Angels are now two games behind, and over in the National League, Philadelphia's won their division, Milwaukee's won their division, Arizona's won their division. Atlanta's up by one game over the St. Louis Cardinals. I expect both two teams to be tied at the end of the night. It's going to be a fascinating 2 days. The tiebreakers, if there are any, will be on Thursday night. And Friday afternoon, about 1 o'clock, the first MLB postseason game will start. I'm not sure who that is yet. They haven't really released it yet. We'll be on TBS and ESPN. Should be an exciting month of October, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely, and I tell you what, a lot of possible different scenarios are starting to take shape as the MLB goes into the postseason. And you know, we had talked about right here on this show about their possibility of the possibility anyway of being a three-way tie in the American League. There, that it didn't exactly pan out. So, Josh, real quickly, take us through the American League East, and how did the Yankees end up on top there?
The Yankees have been more consistent. The Red Sox have been the hottest team in baseball for several months, but they haven't been consistent the entire season. The Yankees managed to win that division, but they're doing something, and I want to get Tom's perspective on it. It makes me sick. Baseball needs to do something about it. Everybody knows the Yankees and Red Sox hate each other. And, you know, the Yankees know the Tampa Bay side with the Boston Red Sox right now. But instead of going out and actually playing the games like they actually count for anything, the New York Yankees have stated it is their goal to ensure the Red Sox don't make their playoffs, and they're going to rest their players like it was a spring training game. My question, Tom, fair or bogus in baseball?
Well, I think it's fair. I mean, you got to look at it like this. They've got a long series ahead of them. And, you know, what would be the purpose of, for a team like the Yankees to have all of their superstars and all of their main people out there for what? A meaningless game? I think it's fair. I don't see anything wrong with that strategy at all. I don't understand what would be. I mean, why would it matter? It's kind of like in the NFL when you've clinched the playoffs or you've won your division and you've got to get ready for the playoff position that could actually win you the championship. you won't see Peyton Manning. Well, you won't see Peyton and Manning out there at all this year. But in years past, you know, when we've clinched the division, you don't see Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne, Dwight Freeney out there. It's just an opportunity, especially in baseball, when so much of the upper body strengths are used. That rest time is absolutely needed. That's why you don't see the same pitchers over and over. That's why pitchers are on a rotation, just because they need that rest. And the Yankees, I think that's probably a good decision on that. So are you saying, Josh, that they shouldn't rest their stars because they've already got a top position in the playoff picture?
Well, I'm saying it's okay to rest your players, but to publicly acknowledge on ESPN Radio and on the YES Network that you're doing it because it's your goal to guarantee the Red Sox don't make the playoffs, shouldn't something be done about keeping the team from making
well,
that type of
statement? I don't agree with that. I mean, why? I mean, the thing is, that's just your normal arrogant trash talk that the Yankees are known for, and really, I mean, it's. I think it's just a way, yes, maybe it shouldn't be done, but I don't know that there should be any sanctions on the part of the MLB to say that these comments shouldn't be made, because, I mean, it's just arrogant talk that the Yankees know so well about, and it's just the Red Sox, and that's the way they look at it. I mean, obviously, you're a little bit more passionate about it because you're a Red Sox fan, and, you know, quite frankly, Josh, the Red Sox had every opportunity to get there. They started the season off fantastic and didn't end it all out so well. Well, we'll get engaged in a more conversation with that as the season goes along. There are two more days remaining in the regular season, and still nobody knows exactly who will be playing where, I should say, when the postseason begins. Both wild card bids remain up in the air, leaving the possibility of a 163rd game in both leagues, and there's more as 8 of Tuesday's 15 games have implications relating to a home field advantage or the wild card races. The only thing we know is that the Yankees have earned the home field advantage through the playoff in the American League, and the Phillies have done the same in the National League, but the National League champion will have home field advantage in the World Series thanks to the league's victory in the All-Star game, which is rather a unique thing as well. Now, here's what we know about the rest. The American wild card is a tie between the, like we just said, the slumping Red Sox and the surging Rays, both with identical 89-71 records. Tampa Bay won the season series between the two clubs, 12-6. So the Rays would host a one-game wild card tiebreaker Thursday if the teams remain tied after Wednesday's games. The Yankees can't play either one of their division foes in the division series, so that means the number two seed will draw the wild card, Josh. And then over there in the Rangers, currently hold a one-game edge over the Tigers for the number two seed, which means they will host the wild card with the Tigers visiting the Yankees if it stays the way that it is now. But if the Rangers and the Tigers end up with the same record, they will flip seeds because Detroit won the season series over the Rangers 6-3. So a tie there means Detroit will host the wild card, and the Rangers will travel to meet the Yankees in a division series rematch of last year's American League Championship Series. And I'll tell you what, that's an exciting series to watch right there. Over in the National League wild card remains there. It remains up for the taking, Josh. The Braves, who hold a one-game lead over the Cardinals with two to play. If those teams finish with a tie, the Cardinals would host one wild-card game tiebreaker Thursday by virtue of their 5-1 season advantage over the Braves. Like the American League, the battle for the number two seed in the National League is down to the wire. The Brewers have a one-game lead over the D-backs, and they must maintain the game in the second seed because the D-backs went 4-3 against Milwaukee in the regular season to gain the tiebreaker edge. Since the National League and wild card contenders are from different divisions, Josh. The ultimate scenario is different than the American League. As it stands, heading into Tuesday's game, the number one Phillies will play the number three D-backs, and the number two Brewers will play the wild card Braves. But if the Cardinals take the wild card, it could mean the Phillies and the Cardinals and the Brewers and the D-backs with home field advantage in the latter going, depending on who wins that number two seed, Josh. So it's a very exciting time over there in the National League.
It certainly is a very exciting time. And here's another question. I know, Tom, you don't want to talk about. You've done your best to avoid this topic. How many games does Pujols have left in St. Louis? Is it possible he only has two games left as a Cardinal if they fail to make the playoffs? Or is this whole thing that he might leave just a publicity stunt to get the Cardinals to pay him more money?
Well, first of all, let me say that Albert Pujols is not the publicity stunt kind of guy. I don't see that happening. I think that he feels like that maybe he needs some more money. I know that he certainly will be the biggest free agent out there this winter, and it would be curious to see what kind of maneuvers are made to get or retain him. That's for sure. It could be, after 1,703 games, there certainly is a chance that that he's in his final days with St. Louis. Obviously, that's not something that I want to see, and I don't think any Cardinal fan wants to see, and I don't think the St. Louis Cardinals want to see. I think the St. Louis Cardinals are going to do everything that they can do to keep him. But at the same time, the St. Louis Cardinals know, when to hold him and when to show them. And sometimes they might call his bluff and say, here's what you got. If you can't make it work, we wish you the best of luck. You've been one of our great players. He had a slow start at the beginning of the year, and his batting average has gone from above a .300 and .301 in at least 30 home runs for the 11th straight season. But after hitting 445 home runs with St. Louis, can the Cardinals afford to keep Pujols? I don't know. Or maybe they can, and maybe they don't want to pay the money that he wants. But guarantee one thing, Pujols will be somewhere, and wherever he is, he's definitely going to get paid. And the Cubs have been long rumored to have their sights on Pujols to play first base. And if the Dodgers can get their finances squared away, they obviously would be lined up to try to get him too. I would see him go to the West Coast before he goes to the Cubs. I can't see him going to the Cubs under any type of situation. There certainly is also some things that the Cardinals and whoever picks up Albert Pujols have to be concerned about as far as Pujols' future production. And, barring injury, Pujols should be productive for years to come. Here's the thing. The other team that might be looking at him would be the Miami Marlins, who will be moving into their next stadium next year and giving their fans a big free agent splash that could go a long ways toward bringing excitement to next year's club. So he's going to get the money. The thing is, is he going to get it in St. Louis? And that question is yet to be determined. And I think that St. Louis is actually going to do anything that they can do to keep Albert Pujols, which is probably one of the greatest players that St. Louis have ever had, and certainly right up there in the monumental players, players such as Ozzie Smith, that will ever wear a Cardinal uniform. So I think the Cardinals aren't going to take too lightly about giving up Albert Pujols. There, I answered the question. How's that, Josh?
I would absolutely agree with you, except for 2 points. Albert Pujols is not one of the greatest players the Cardinals ever had. The greatest player in baseball history cannot be just one of the greatest players the team's had. If you look at his stats, maybe he does have the World Series rings, but if you look purely at Albert Pujols' start to his career, he'd be hard to argue that he's not the greatest player to ever pick up a baseball bat and glove. And I think he'll end up being a New York Yankee, which is an absolute shame, but I hear the Yankees are prepared to offer him $350 million over 10 years.
And you know what? The Yankees certainly have the money to do that. They've proven many times that they do, and they certainly have the ability to get players that other people cannot get strictly because of money. But here's the thing. I don't know that it's all going to come down to money with Albert Pujols. We really don't have time to get into it right now. But, you know, I think that a lot of it comes down to loyalty, and Albert Pujols has a lot of loyalty with the Cardinals. And I think that what we'll see is, and this is just my gut feeling, I think we will see the St. Louis Cardinals work out a deal with Albert Pujols, and I think he'll stay right there in St. Louis. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Obviously, his focus right now is getting the Cardinals into the wild card playoff position and an opportunity to get to the Fall Classic. All right, Josh, we've got just a few minutes left. Obviously, there was some breaking news in the racing world today. What happened there?
Alex Tagliani has been fired by Sam Schmidt Motorsport and replaced by Dan Weldon, at least for the last two races of the year. And, I mean, Dan Weldon won the Indianapolis 500, but you'd have to ask yourself, why? Why would you fire Alex Tagliani? He's been competitive all year. He's kept the car clean. He doesn't tear the machine up. And with only two races to go.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I think there's been a growing tension there in that group for a long time. And I think when it became apparent of where they were going to end up at, I think Tagliani, I think it probably was a decision that was made a long time ago. And, you know, I don't think that Tagliani is going to have a problem getting into another car. And so Dan Weldon obviously has proven himself as a very serious competitor in the IndyCar race. So, you know, it would be interesting. You know, obviously Tagliani got the pole this past year at the Indy 500. So, you know, I think there was just some growing tension there between Tagliani and Schmidt Motorsports there. I think that's really what it amounts to.
I can certainly see that. It's just puzzling that you would do it with only two races left to go in the year. I don't know that that gives Weldon time to prove anything, unless he goes out and wins both races. But it does get IndyCar back in the national sports talk picture, as it's been buried on the last stage. The fact ESPN has kind of basically stopped covering IndyCar racing altogether, just about.
Well, I think that has a lot, may have something to do with it. I mean, obviously, the decision from Sam Schmidt to put Dan Weldon into the number 77 Bauer and Wilkins DeLore in place of Tagliani for this weekend race in Kentucky. But I think that – I think it was a good move. I really do. I think that I don't know. I just don't know how focused Tagliani was with Schmidt. And so, you know, we'll have to leave it at that, and we can certainly get into a more detailed discussion about this at a more time when we got more time. But I think the right decision was made there by Sam Schmidt, and obviously he's one of the greatest racing minds of all time, and I think that he knows what he was doing, and I don't know all of the angles that were there. Obviously not covering racing as much as we used to, but we'll certainly get into some more information about that. All right, Josh, 2 minute, I mean 1 minute timeout. Hurry up. Let's go.
Tune in to ESPN 2 tonight at 8 o'clock, Fever Dream Game 3. And also, give it up for Tony Stewart, who said he wasn't a competitor in the chase and has went out and dominated the first two races of the year. Jimmy Johnson buried in 10th place, and this year, Greg, I believe his streak is over.
All right, guys, that's going to do it. As you know, this time every day, 6 o'clock Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio, we bring you the total wrap-up of sports for September 27th, 2011. Your wrap-up.